Good morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of June 20th, 2017 to order. The first thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon, members of council. I have no amendments to today's agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of June 13th. Any corrections or questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Mr. President, I have none.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. We do have one letter from the Greenwood Volunteer Fire Company from their chief, Mark Anderson. The two-hour emergency operations center says, Dear Mr. Thomas, I'd like to recognize several of your team members for their willingness to always assist the Greenwood Fire Company with our technical communications needs. These gentlemen always offer professional advice and outstanding customer service. These type of employees are a strong reflection of Sussex County leadership. Please pass our sincere appreciation to Chip Larson, Danny McBroom, and Paul Smack for outstanding dedication. Again, thank you.
Should we give them a smack?
We're not giving them a smack. Anything else? We'll move along. Public comments, Mr. Guy.
Mr. President, while we are waiting, I want to let you know that the IT department is here and we are test running the sound system for today's meeting and adjusting the inputs and outputs to try to enhance the audience's ability to hear the meeting. So if there's any questions, I feel a little bit of feedback right now. If there's any questions or input from council, please speak up. Dwayne is here.
There you go. Paul Rigger.
Good morning, Paul Rigger. Good afternoon. Turning hopefully the final time on this. Last night's Board of Adjust hearing came up concerning case number 11962, the seeking a variance from the height requirement for fences, special use exemption to operate a commercial kennel, special use exception for a garage studio apartment, and an AR. Okay. Now, this is the point of it. Does our planning and director have the authority to authorize a fence permit for over 42 feet or 42 inches for the front 30, 40 feet and over 7 feet in the height as stated in the county code was finally answered last night by requiring the applicant to get two separate variances needed for the fence height for commercial and agriculture use. They're forced to get the variance. With all involved, from the director of planning, Ms. Cromwell, and the assistant county attorney, Mr. Robertson, being silent at the hearing, and Board of Adjustment approving the separate variances and not removing them by having Ms. Cromwell just approving them, the standard permitting process for fences set the precedent that the planning director authority for approving fences over 42 inches in height and 7 feet in height in agriculture and commercial use is no longer applicable. Conclusion, all fences exceeding the current fence height requirement should be considered non-conforming and in violation and be issued a request to apply for a variance or remedy to height to meet the current height requirements. Also, too, during that same hearing, there was also no setback variance requested or issued for the dog kennel as specified in the county code, which requires a 200-foot setback. The setbacks were never mentioned in the decision. If the lot is not at least 400 feet across, how can you meet the setback without a variance? They are approved for a commercial kennel, but never approved for a variance, not meeting a 200-foot setbacks. In a recent hearing concerning a public stable, a variance was required for the public stable to be 200 feet from the property line. They came in and were granted a 136-foot setback. So I raised all these concerns. I think the precedent was set last night, the director, on all the code that says, that gives her the authority to authorize things above and beyond what the code state should be held accountable that until they figure out exactly what we're doing with the code, what's approvable, not approvable. It'll again take out who you know, what you know, in getting a permit. It'll make everybody be on a fair system. And that's it. It needs to be looked at and should be considered. Last night was a maintenance and a final answer to what I've been asking for and approved what I've been saying.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer.
Good morning.
It should be good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're right.
I'm always right.
I knew that.
That'd be a cold day. I admit that when I'm wrong, but a lot of people don't, in particular not Cole. And he don't want to stifle my speech and tell me that county employees are not to talk to me. That's stifling speech. Freedom of speech is one of the most sacred things we have in this United States. And then you want to tell these people, oh, don't you talk to Dan Kramer. Well, you can kiss my grits, because it'll be a cold day that they don't talk to me, because I'll knock on their doors. Thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
That's the end of the entertainment.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few items today. First is a wastewater agreement information that was contained in your packet relating to wastewater agreement number 1027-1, Sussex County project number 81-04, Silver Woods Pump Station, Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 1027-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between County Council and Silver Stock WP LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Silver Woods Pump Station located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Legislative update is next. I placed at your desks a table that looks like this with bills listed and a blue bar at the top. And below that table is the corresponding legislation. Not much more of an update than last week's council meeting. These bills directly impact either the county or county business or perhaps even elected officials. I'll go through the table. If you have any questions, please feel free. The table, since you are seeing this for the first time this year, starts with the bill number on the left, the primary sponsors, just the primary sponsors in the next column. Quick description of what the legislation purports to do, and then status for the Senate and the House. and if it's passed both the Senate and the House, then it awaits the governor's signature. So for the first bill, HB 89, we discussed last week. This bill would change the time for the date of primary elections to the fourth Tuesday in April. This obviously would impact elected officials in the state running for statewide office, county office, or municipal office. What this does is brings the primaries in line with the presidential primary. It also adjusts some other dates, as you can see here, including the 60-day limit, which was discussed last week. That's passed the House and is sitting, waiting for the Senate for Senate action.
Mr. President,
yes, sir.
Can we like as a group?
As a group, could we get a consensus maybe on some of these as we go through them, so that if somebody's up there lobbying for the counties, they would know the position of Sussex County?
Sure.
I mean, because on this one we're all politicians. I know over the years. This would be, I think, a great help, and I mean, I would support this, and I think that we could go on record on some of this stuff. It's up to the rest of you if you want to do it. I don't.
It would save us a lot of money.
I'm talking about
as far as you know, having two primaries.
Yeah, right.
Having the president primary, okay. And come back and have a general primary.
Well, anybody have a big dislike for it?
I agree with it.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Let's note that there's a consensus that we can support that one.
Does this take effect immediately upon approval, or is it a two-year wait?
This act takes effect January 1, 2020.
Yeah.
2020.
The next.
Presidential.
Yes.
So what about the off cycle?
Well, it'd be, after that, it'd be 2020, 2022. It'd be
every two years.
Yeah. But it would not be in effect for this coming 2018.
Well, I guess I'll rephrase the question. I mean, when it's not a presidential campaign, Is it still going to be in April? It would still be in April.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the new date.
Okay.
Okay. Duly noted. The next piece of legislation is HB 99. This legislation has passed both bodies and awaits the governor's signature. So this is more of an FYI, but this changes the residency requirement for the tax credit that seniors, residents 65 years or older are able to receive. It raises the residency requirement from 3 years to 10 years.
I don't have any problem with that either.
That took effect this January 1st.
Right.
Okay, the next one we discussed last week, HB 130, this is commonly known as the lodging tax, which applies, this legislation would change the lodging tax in the state and would apply it to all hotels, motels, tourist homes, and short-term rentals. This act has only been assigned to committee, has not seen any action. I know there are some feelings about this potential legislation on council.
Well, yeah, I could comment on that. I think it'd be very hard to enforce, and they already do hotels and motels, right? And I believe the state takes a $10 per campsite fee every year. I think they do. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I take a position that because it impacts Sussex County more than any other county, and only a small portion of, you know, the coastal area of the county, and usually only about a mile off that, you know, stretch off that beach, and the unincorporated areas of the county are very small nowadays, so that the towns collect taxes and the state's collecting taxes, and I take a position that we would oppose it. So
why should we oppose it when all the people are coming down this down here just can't wait to get on the beaches?
And it's
they're bringing money down here.
Well, do we know what
after all we helped the don't want to help the farmers, but we should help the city people that wants to come down and live on our beach. So I'm not in favor of that, George. I'm in favor of what the bill says.
Okay. Katrina, you had something?
I just had a question. Do we know what the revenue is going to go towards? I mean, is it being lockboxed towards something, or is it just going into their general fund?
I think we're going to try to pay back some of our bills that we owe, all them millions of dollars we owe.
It does. Awesome. Currently that tax goes towards 5%. It's an 8% tax. 5% to the general fund. 1% to beach replenishment. 1% is given to the state tourism, and 1% per
tourism.
County, and 1% to the state tourism.
So that's the current.
That would not change.
So what do we know? What's the increase?
A purported increase. I don't have that information in front of me.
I think at our, we discussed this a few times at our state county finance committee. I think the last number we heard from maybe the state's side of it was they thought somewhere in the $10-12 million range.
That's my recollection.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, say again.
About $10-12 million is what they would recoup from this in the tax.
But we don't know what it's going to be applied towards.
The way it is right now, I think it is strictly the same as the other 8%. It's on hotels and motels.
Right.
It goes 5% to the state and 1% to the beach replenishment, county tourism, and state tourism.
That's correct. There's no change to the distribution of the funds. This would just increase the amount of funds that the state collects and then distribute it through the current breakdown that we've been mentioning.
Keep in mind, the only new thing to it, I think, is the short-term rentals. They're already collecting everywhere else. And
that is correct.
And I can't imagine there's going to be $12 million there. And so many people rent over the Internet and other areas. I know the local realtors do collect it automatically, the towns and different things like that, but very hard to enforce. And just like I said, it impacts just a handful of people in the state and this county.
I think
not a broad-based tax is what I'm trying to point out.
I think, in all honesty, personal opinion, it was introduced April 13th, assigned Revenue and Finance Committee in the House. It has sit there since then with no action. Tomorrow is going to supposedly the last committee meeting day of the year. I doubt this will see the light of day. I don't know that. You never know that. But they've had since April 13th. They haven't talked about it yet, so I doubt tomorrow, the last one, they'll do it. But you never know. You never know. Anybody else have a George is opposed to it, Sam's in favor of it. Anybody's got any opinions?
I would side with George. I don't see where it, I don't see where the collection is going to offset the detriment that it might cause by making us an uncompetitive place to enjoy the beach. I see it as hard to enforce, and I don't know that I see the real benefit in the money collected. And I do see it as a targeted area tax. So I'm not in favor of it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, in the end, tourism is what, number two industry in our state? No, I think
number one, right, Sam? It's number one. Right?
I can tell you one thing. If you get on this road a little bit, you'll find how much tourists we have.
But I'll repeat the question. Is tourism
just one or two?
It's
agriculture, number one.
So this would detract from that versus attracting more. So to me, what's the purpose?
We need to raise some money to pay off that bills we got.
No, it's called you cut your expenses.
They want better roads, right?
I would concur as
you are opposed to it as is Mr. Carter.
That would be correct. Yes.
Yeah. That's three people. That's all you need. So we're
consensus.
Okay.
It's consensus.
Thank you. next bill listed here is HB 188. This bill, after doing some research, is really focused on Newcastle County. This is enabling legislation, meaning if it does pass, the county, each county would have to take another step to pass their own local ordinance to fulfill the intent of this legislation. And really what this does is allows for the county or local government to assign a lien to a property when that property has had expenses rendered to fix the property that is in violation of the local code. So for instance, if there's some kind of abatement that takes place, some kind of remediation, grass cut for Sussex County is usually what we see with property maintenance. We can take that expense, assign it to the property, and then assign a lien to the property to try to collect the property, the expense related to the remediation efforts.
I think in this case, this bill is Newcastle County bill, mm-hmm. and it's primarily Newcastle County government mm-hmm. actually properties that are in disrepair, or they actually go in and do work to them. Mm-hmm. But they don't look so bad in a neighborhood.
But Mike, will this
they can't recoup that money?
Will this be, if adopted statewide though? Is that,
what are we looking at? It's the ability statewide, but nobody else does except Newcastle County.
Don't we already do this?
Pardon me?
Don't we already do this? I mean, if there is a cost associated with a property.
Oh, if we have spent money on it, yes. But in their case, they do a lot more things than we would do today. You know, if there's a house that's sitting there vacant and the windows are torn out, they patch them, cover them, do whatever to make it more.
Well, how do we recoup down here? I mean, when we go in, if we do put a lien. So we already do this?
We automatically put a lien on the properties when we incur an expense related to these activities.
How about zoning violations in case we have a zoning violation and we have to have Everett and his staff, you know, go after them, sue, whatever? Would this bill include no. zoning violations?
Only, I don't know that we try to, I don't know, this is a question. Do we try to recoup?
It does say laws and ordinances.
I don't know that we try to recoup legal fees as it relates to zoning violations, no. And we don't. We don't incur expenses trying to get a property to be in compliance with zoning because we don't go out and, you know, tear down signs and change setbacks or things of that nature. So we don't attempt to recoup that expense. The key for this bill is two keys. One, it allows the county to pass a local ordinance, and that's first thing. So it doesn't mandate it statewide as discussed. And the second thing is it allows us to attach this expense to a tax bill like we would any other street lighting or a Sussex Improvement District and collect the money through the tax bill's efforts. That's what it does. So if there's a lien, that lien amount can go on the tax bill, and we try to collect it in that manner. So you don't collect a lien until that property transfers ownership.
So this would allow really for the county to be recoup of the expense sooner versus later?
In theory, yes.
Do you
if they pay the bill?
Do you like it? Does the staff like it? I mean, what do you? I think
I have no issues with it. It's enabling legislation. So
we don't have to do it, but it'd be nice to have the ability to do it. Right.
And give us that ability if we charge to do it.
Right. I'd say there should be a support for that one from the council. Does anybody have any arguments with that?
Does our former constable have any input on that?
I mean, it looks like a...
Yeah, Republican or Democrats introduced it.
Well, that doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. So
would he be allowed to address that, Mike? I'd like to get his opinion.
I think it makes a lot of difference.
No.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm sorry. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The way that we are currently seeking a reimbursement of the money that we have been putting out for property maintenance issues, it requires us, for the majority of the issues, to file a lien in the recorder of deeds. So we wouldn't get that money back until that property transfers.
If it ever transfers.
If it ever transfers. This legislation allows that cost to be placed on the property as a real estate tax. So the bill would be sent out and brought back in. And it provides more latitude for our ability to get that money back other than just waiting by for the property to sell.
Okay. So how do you get blood out of a turnip?
I'm sorry?
How do you get blood out of a turnip?
Squeeze it. Squeeze harder.
Sound like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
I think you're doing a lot of screening before you get butt out of that.
All right.
Any more questions on that one?
Only from Everett. Everett, when it does say violations of those laws and ordinances, so it would we could include zoning issues, zoning violations. That's an ordinance.
Yeah. Possibly. I'm just looking at this for the first time. I do notice, Mr. Lawson indicated, it's very specific to Newcastle County at this point. But as Mr. Lawson indicated, it could be something that we use as our next step to look at
it for
us.
But we would need state legislation to be able to do it, or can we already do it without state legislation? This bill is only for Newcastle County.
This bill appears to be for Newcastle County.
It is statewide.
Correct. It addresses a need currently within Newcastle County. It would apply to this county and Kent County if passed.
Okay.
It would require each county to enact their own ordinance subsequent to this enabling legislation.
It would empower this council to make the decisions what we feel is best for this county and
correct.
Its residents. In the end.
Correct.
Okay.
To include trash, illegal dumping and other things, correct? So that's something that we could go after, I would presume.
Correct.
Versus a lien, we could go and pursue.
Depending if there's expenses incurred, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to the second page, which is two Senate bills. Senate Bill 38 is at the top. This is an interesting piece of legislation. It has passed the House the Senate and awaits House consideration. This act requires, so this is not enabling legislation, this would require each county government to provide exemptions to real property taxes for individuals with disabilities that are at least generous as the exemptions currently provided by the county government. Now, we currently have a program, Ms. Jennings, that provides tax credit for disabilities. Can you
correct?
Provide
so
that?
This is just to clarify that the state supports this. We already do this. So we're okay with this legislation as far as administration here on our end.
Has the list of disabilities expanded to take in almost everybody?
I mean, that's my only concern is that list of disabilities is every time you turn around, every new thing's a disability.
I'm looking at Ms. Jennings, can you explain how we apply our disability?
Yeah, what is our list of disabilities? Being a politician?
No.
Who's
you
on
have to be
25 years or more.
Yeah, you have to be on disability. And then there's also an income threshold as well.
So
it doesn't list the disabilities.
Is that,
well,
that
shouldn't it?
Therefore, does that mean it's determined by the state / the federal government?
You got
HIV, right?
Or disability.
Give me one second. I can read them to you.
Smoke too much, it's a disability. Everything's a disability.
I will say that this legislation, as reading it, does clarify that it says a person disabled as a result of service in and while in the service of any branch of the United States Armed Services. So I don't know that was clearly codified in code currently in this code. Excuse me, this legislation does that for all three counties.
But if you have a disability, it doesn't matter how you get it.
A
disability is a disability.
It clarifies that.
All right.
That military service-related disabilities are part of the act, I guess, is what they're doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would assume the state and/or federal is that makes determination on what a disability certain.
Exactly. That's right. It's not. I mean, we just you have to be totally disabled.
Right.
We don't determine what's disabled or not.
And we give 100% exemptions for disabilities from tax property taxes.
No.
Okay.
It's an exemption up to your $12,500 of your assessed value of your property.
Is it based on a percent? I know military, they have different levels of disability. You know, just when somebody's discharged, they have different percents that they receive.
No percent.
Do we do it based on that?
We look at the income, if they have a certain type of income left, but we don't look at different types of disability.
Well, if I had both legs booted off in war, I would say there'd certainly be disability.
You would think so.
Well, in that scenario, that would be 100%. So, I mean, there's different levels, though, based on
the scenario. If you don't watch yourself, you could argue here and lose it, that lost your legs.
Yeah.
I think we're
okay.
Yeah.
I don't think
I
this
guess
is
we're, because we're already
we,
doing
we,
it.
We don't determine yes. what a disability is, but if someone's got a disability, then that's this says we have to, which we're doing anyway, right, Gina?
That's correct. So, right. There's an application they fill out.
It's not new for us.
No, it is not.
Okay.
We were a trendsetter.
There you go.
County.
There you
and
go.
And last but not least, SB 99, that is Sussex County's legislation involving the sewer assessment, allowing us to move from front footage to EDUs and user consumption. So that bill was released out of committee last week and was passed by the Senate June 15th. Thanks to the hard work of our president of county council who appeared on behalf of the county while the Senate was debating this bill.
We have that on YouTube?
It awaits consideration in the House, and we do not anticipate any issues, and hopefully within the next few days of their end of their legislative session, it'll get passed.
We want to thank Mike, then, for going up there and pushing it.
That's correct.
Over the edge.
You really want to thank Todd and Gina, who went the day before to the committee hearing, and all the hard work.
Mr. President, before we move off this subject,
Senate Bill 99, or just in general?
Just in general, as it relates to Dover. So I know there's time is winding down here as it relates to the recession. So, are there any other concerns, financial concerns, that this county should be thinking of as it relates to the paramedic possibilities of changing the percentages, or what other possibilities exist up there that could directly impact this county government and the residents of Sussex County?
Well, I would give my personal opinion. I think we all read the paper and hear the news, and there's certainly some difference of opinion as to how to fill this gap of $400 million. To date, the leadership has not met to discuss this. It's my understanding they're going to meet sometime today, this evening, and come to some kind of agreement on something. But I think we have to be very cautious about paramedic funding and grant aid. There's potential there could be something done with grant aid that ain't been talked about yet. And there's some things that I think there's some people in Dover might have to give the county some more expense with some of the library stuff and things like that. So there's still some things being talked, yes. Nobody's come out and said we're going to suggest doing this. It's just now it's kind of a hallway conversation. But tomorrow's the last day of committee meetings. They're going to meet Thursday. Their plan now is to be in session Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I would guess at least till 12:01 Saturday morning, so they can call themselves back in session.
3 a.m.
I tell you, there's things in Dover. When you walk up there and attend the sessions, there's a lot of tension in the air. Between the two sides, and they're a long way from agreeing on anything, I think. I mean, except the franchise tax they passed, but they got to find some money.
So two thoughts. I mean, number one is that this county's already, because of the request from Dover, has increased
state police
funding to the tune of $700,000, give or take, 30% increase to per their
calls.
Their highly recommendation, I would say. So that would be number one. Number two is that this county council has already approved unanimously the current budget. So if there are changes to respect to how it could directly affect this county, what would be the procedure of adjusting our budget accordingly? What's the process?
I would think, well, I'll let you know, my opinion is if it's of a magnitude, we have to adjust money. We would have to amend the budget.
Correct.
We have to go back and have another public hearing?
Correct. We have to amend the budget the way we adopted the budget, so it would be a whole public hearing and everything.
Yeah.
Which would lead us, obviously, into July, probably end of July, at best.
Yeah, we'd have to advertise it. It might even be, it'd be July, probably, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah. At best, because it's 21 days we have to have by the time it's introduced.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else from council?
Thank you.
Six more days, seven more days.
We will stay vigilant.
Amen.
Okay.
I have a presence there, if not tomorrow, for sure Thursday and next week, all week.
Good. Okay, last item is the county administrator's report. Only one item today. The Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission will host the next workshop on the Comprehensive Land Use Plan on Monday, June 26, 2017. The workshop will focus on the conservation element of the comp plan. The workshop begins at 9 a.m. and will take place in the County Council Chambers located on the Circle in Georgetown. The agenda is attached. Public comment will be taken at the beginning and end of the meeting. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Cornwell, update and discussion on comprehensive land use plan. And Mr. Robertson, please join us.
So good afternoon. We would just want to give an update of where we have been with the comprehensive plan over the last couple of months. As you know, Planning Commission has been holding numerous workshops. This is the list of the dates that we've held and proposed. So we've held at least 8 public workshops already. Oh, I forget some of the June meetings already. Those are the topics we have covered. We've covered the vision, historic preservation, community design, economic development, future land use, utilities, transportation, intergovernmental coordination, and the most recent one was recreation and open space. The next one, of course, is Monday, as Mr. Lawson just announced, and we will be discussing just conservation, which would leave the only chapter we have not discussed is housing.
And housing's teed up here pretty soon.
Yes.
That's one of the July meetings.
And Janelle, each one of them is accessible on the website for the full recording, correct?
Yes, I believe the most recent one is not up yet, but we will get that up there, all the PowerPoint presentations, and then we do put the video up on the ComPlan website, so sussexplan.com. The audio from all of the meetings is also on the county's website, so you can also go and listen to the audio, and we are breaking it up by tracks, by sections of what's on that agenda that day. So you can, if you're just looking for a specific topic that a day, you can go to that audio.
Have they come to consensus on some of these topics yet at P&Z? I mean, it's nice hearing about all these different, you know, concepts and different ideas, but are any of those ideas landing and becoming part of a future plan?
Yes, they recently came to consensus on the historic preservation chapter.
That's a tough one.
That chapter is also on the comprehensive web plan website,
right,
for comments from the public. It was also sent to council, so if you have any comments or questions or concerns, please let us know. That way we can, you know, incorporate those into that chapter. They've also looked at the introduction, which is just really a brief overview of the history and of the county. And the most recent one they've just started looking at is now a 45-page chapter, which is economic development. That is the most recent one they're digging their teeth into and going page by page looking at that. That one should be done shortly. They're also finalizing the community design chapter as well. The utility chapter is coming along. We've been working with the engineering department, and they're working a few things out, so we should have that one done shortly as well.
Yeah, I think I alluded to this before, like on historical preservation, you said we ought to look at it. It's on the web, and any of us could call up and give us our comments, and P&Z will then consider them. If all individuals like that are participating, and then there's going to be a reaction to, if I make a phone call about some portion of it, and off they go, there could be not a consensus. I don't know if it's better to that when we get a consensus at P&Z, that you come here with that, and we have a conversation here in public and find out if there's a consensus on these key provisions of the historical preservation and in economic development, all these things, because otherwise I see it being a waste of time for me to call you up and say, I really think we need to do this.
Well, do you have anything? Historic preservation's out there.
Well, no, I'm just saying it ought to be an agenda item, and we ought to spend 15, 20 minutes, whatever. You give a preservation that or a presentation, this is it, and then get it officially here. And then we pretty much have tightened that up. Otherwise, again, I just think if I call up and say, hey, I got a problem with this, it goes nowhere, in my opinion, because the old saying is it takes three to get something done.
Well, I think part of the conversation today is to get some comfort with the council and the way you want to see us proceed from this point forward. The Planning and Zoning Commission is working through these things in a very diligent mm-hmm. manner. For instance, the historic preservation element in draft form or final draft form is done. It's on the website. It was emailed. It's 40-some pages.
It's 25.
Excuse
which
me.
Which is more than double what it used to be.
Okay.
Right,
sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Another, so if I guess the question is, should we rely on you to take that information, read it, digest it, put it on a future agenda, and then you'll be prepared to provide us some feedback based on what we've given you, or should we put it on an agenda and make a presentation and you provide feedback in real time during that presentation?
My prediction is it'll probably happen a little bit of both. There'll be people who are prepared, there'll be people that are just not as prepared.
And historic preservation could probably take 15 minutes.
That's right.
The mobility element could take a half a day.
Right.
And the conservation and the future land use element, those are all very large.
Well, isn't it true on mobility, a lot of it is coming from DelDOT?
No.
No?
That's not true.
Okay.
No, because we're partnering with DelDOT. I mean, we took pretty much a whole day dealing with DelDOT. We tasked DelDOT with coming back with really as creative as they could be so that we had a wide range of possibilities, knowing that we'll take some, not others.
Okay,
but
good. No,
we'll shoot for the moon, and we'll see where it takes us. But it's that's taking the commission. It's probably going to be 2 days worth of work, you mm-hmm. know. So just be prepared if we put this on an agenda. It'll take.
Well, certain ones, like you said, might take 15 minutes, Mike, and others might take longer. I think it's important that we have the ability as a group to discuss it, because sometimes that triggers things. Or if IG looks at something one way, and it might say, hey, you're right or something. So I would rather get the conversation here after they've decided on a draft, just again to kind of tighten it up so that as we go through this, we've covered a lot of the, problems. We don't have to go back.
I assume your thoughts would be put on the agenda, give a brief presentation. We've already got it mm-hmm. in front of us before you do that, obviously.
Absolutely.
Right. And then you would get comments from different council people. It's not something we would vote on.
No.
Correct.
It would be just comments from either Mr. Burton or Mr. Wilson or myself, Mr. Cole, Mr. Arlette, that you could and take back and say, here's some comments, some suggestions, do-da-dum, which then could get in their final draft,
right?
Which will get back to us.
Yes.
But Everett, is it okay to have a consensus on any of this stuff?
I don't think that's
maybe it's not. I mean, we're not talking about the exact wording.
You're going to vote on the entire ordinance at a later time,
right?
When it comes before you, you can have some kind of input that they're discussing. But I don't think it would really be proper to have votes at this point.
Not a vote. I'm just say everybody kind of comfortable with that. But
Well, and here's the
general record is a vote.
Well,
yeah,
no, we don't go down the line, but we just have a
ultimately
something.
The commission
got to have something to get this thing.
Ultimately,
up.
The commission has to make a recommendation to you
right.
all. So,
right.
if we do that, I think the way it would work is Janelle or I would go back to the commission and say, okay, it was discussed. This is where council's going with it. The commission's going to decide whether they like that or not, and they're
right.
going to submit it to you all as a recommendation, and then you then can decide.
But
Mr. President, may I some input on this? And I'm not going to disagree with Mr. Cole in the sense of the concept of better communication, because in the end, this council will make the final decision. However, legally speaking, I would have that question. What does the code specifically say? Are we even permitted to even have some input as we move forward? Because in the end, they are to be voting on and present to something. If we're sitting here getting a consensus and providing them with the input, aren't we doing that in advance of them even providing recommendations? Yeah. So I'm looking at it from a legal position. Are we treading on thin water here?
Well, there will be an ordinance that will be introduced, and then there will be a hearing before planning and zoning, and then there will be a public hearing on that ordinance before us. I believe, as Mr. Robertson indicated, you know, there'll be a discussion here before council on the different parts so they understand. Here's some concerns council has, some input they have, and that can be worked in that ordinance. I think that's the best way to proceed.
Yeah, just like if it was a zoning ordinance, you know, we're making a recommendation to P&Z.
I'll be the key word here, public hearing.
Oh, they'll be.
That's what Mr. Moore just said. Yeah. Public hearing. If we're not to a public hearing, why should we make those decisions up here?
What?
We need to be recommended to us.
They all said and done, they get their draft ordinance, and they'll get a final ordinance that they will have a public hearing on.
Their plan.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And they'll pass something. It'll come to us as a recommendation.
Right.
We'll have a public hearing. We'll make a final decision. We either say we like everything you did, or we like nothing you did, or something in between.
Right.
And then we'll adopt as amended, I guess, or whatever.
But I think what George is trying to get through is taking it in pieces, right, as opposed to taking it in one large book. And I like the piece approach, right, because there could be some give and take along the way as each piece is developed. Does the public weigh in on the draft? So we're going to maybe give you an idea of what we think on the first draft you submitted, but does the public get a chance to go?
Absolutely.
Where is their time to shine on that?
Right now, they can, again, we are still taking comments through the website, the public comment forms.
Every meeting they have.
Every meeting, every planning commission
sometimes
meeting.
Sometimes twice a meeting.
Every comp plan workshop, there are public comments. Right now, that if they want to read the historic preservation chapter just on that alone, it is on the website. We'll be taking comments through that. And that is what that third round of meetings, public meetings, was designated for, was to go out to the public and go, okay, we have a draft plan. You've been getting it chapter by chapter. You know, what was the public's feelings on that plan?
But there's not a time dedicated to the element number one. If you want to weigh in on, because that's what we're going to be asked to do, right? We're going to weigh in on
the
first element.
So the way, informally there is, because the way we've been doing these workshops have been element-based. So the people that are speaking generally are talking about the elements. And a lot of times they sort of hold their fire till the end of the discussion so they can talk about what's been communicated. But there's the final, like Mr. Wilson was talking about, there's the final public hearing on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Where the public's going to be able to come in and say whatever they want about each element. So they're getting the opportunity along the way, but then there's that at the Planning Commission, then to the council level, there's going to be a public hearing where it's, you know, a comment on all the elements. That information will be taken into account in the commission's case and its recommendation to you all, and then you'll take into account that information when you adopt a plan.
But do you think this proposal that George is talking about is helpful to planning and zoning?
I think it can be. I mean, I don't.
Better be. The buck stops here.
It helps when we get to the point. I don't know about votes. That's the
not concern. The vote. The conversation.
And
I will say, since I think the three of us are probably as intimately involved in the whole process as any, there are subjects that are going to be in this comp plan that you will not agree with the recommendation coming from Planning and Zoning Commission. So I don't know how helpful it's going to be on certain subjects. They're going to send a recommendation up to you. You're not going to agree with it. So if you send it back down to them with whatever you recommend, it's going to come back up to you the same thing that it was before. So I don't know how helpful that exercise will be.
Well, it's going to be helpful because we get to that point. We got an end product where both groups are supposed to be trying to get to this end product. And so there's a time frame, and what you just discussed is going to screw up that time frame big time, because you go back and forth like that, it takes time. What I'm trying to do is get each piece, we look at it, we go back and tell them, and then the onus is going to be on them if they want to ignore what the elected officials are suggesting to them, possibly.
That's almost a vote, though, George.
Well, no, I were just making suggestions. I'm not.
But, Mr. President, here's a really big concern that I would have. And I understand Councilman Cole's point. However, the code in the ordinance says what it says, and they are to present us something. And what they're presenting is something that they have received public opinion. We're having a discussion up here without the public input. That is a big concern. That's a huge concern. It's just our five opinions without the public's opinion. So we're going to have a quote-unquote consensus, but without the public input. I got a problem with that as it relates to what we're doing here. I mean, in the end, P&Z is to do their job. They're to present us their opinion based on the public input. Then we have our input based on the public input, correct? And then we make a decision. That is the legal process. What we're discussing here is not that legal process.
And I would just point out, is there anything that says in the code that any single member of council can't make a public comment?
No.
So anybody up here could enter public comment at any given time on anything.
But
wait a minute. So it's not the council view if somebody does that. But I think I understand where George is coming from, and I think we want to see these things as you get them one at a time. We want to see them and look at them, and there's nothing that we can't talk about them, I guess. But I mean, it is in fact the charge of planning and zoning to develop the plan and present that to the public as a draft and let the public make comment on that and have a public hearing on their final document and then make any changes they want. Then it comes to us. And I think Mr. Law is exactly correct. I'm not saying I'm sure, there's a possibility that every part of what comes to us might not be agreeable to the majority of council. And then we'll have to do what we're going to do.
I would agree with that. And I, to the point that Mr. Cole made.
You're not going to make it, we're not going to make this deadline, I'm going to tell you right now, because
we're not going to, if we have to keep bouncing.
No, it's a waste of time. So you all talk about input. My input, the public's input, there's all kinds of input out there. So my input is as valuable as the public's input or anybody else's input, because we end up having to make it. So all the input, you know, don't be afraid of input. That's all conversation. They're getting input for everything, but I think planning and zoning should hear, and we should see it. Otherwise, we're going to have overruns. Our consultants are going to be sending us more bills, Sam, so we'll be more, you know, for more extra work. So I'm trying to get this down so that we don't have a lot of this back and forth, because as Todd said, we're going to see things we don't like. I'm aware of that. But at least it's not like they said, well, you never told us. How did we know? Well, I just want them to know there's areas that there could be disagreement. So if they send this stuff up knowing there's going to be disagreement, you know, be prepared. But that's fine. But if I can hear them now, well, we never knew that. How did we know that you didn't like this or something like that?
You mentioned my name. I got one thing to say. I can't quite understand why we have trapped the old plan.
Well, that's another issue, Sam.
I'm afraid we're past that, Sam.
Good God.
And why are we completely starting all over again?
That's what they're doing.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's what they're doing. Can I jump in? Please. I mean, I think what I hear up here, and I agree, I think people up here would like to have that option to make input if they choose to, not slowing down the process.
Right.
I mean, there's no, I don't think we're expecting to say, Mr. Cole might say, well, I think such and such, and you take that back. We're expecting them to come back to us and then go back again. And it's just, it's a comment. Like anybody can comment on the circle.
Well, I think the one thing that strikes me, we're dancing around issues here. If you all know of issues that you want the commission to consider, whether it's density, whether it's buffers, whether it's mobility issues, put it on an agenda, tell us what you want to hear in the commission level, and we'll take that into account. Instead of you reacting to what you give us, if you have issues that are of real concerns, let us know. Then we can be proactive, and we'll know what the council wants, and we'll consider it at the commission level.
I understand all that. I just would like the idea that we would see where the commission is, and then we could, like you said, density. and then we have it on an agenda where we're talking that topic. I don't like the idea of calling up, you know, or sending an email. I'd like the public to understand where I'm thinking, how I think. So if I don't mind making my question, my individual question, I'm not saying you guys all have to agree with it, but I think the public deserves a right to know what I, as an elected official, think about, say, density. And then, but I don't expect the Planning and Zoning Commission to do anything if they get one phone call from George Cole. I call, you know, the president, Mr. Wheatley. I said, Mr. Wheatley, I like, you know, what's he going to do? He has no idea if he wants to spend a lot of time on that. It could be a harebrained idea. So again, I would love to see the topics come piece by piece in front of us, do a presentation. Some will take longer than others, and you'll get some comments, and you'll get some feedback. Then you can easily go back at the next meeting and say, you know, the council was concerned about this. A number of the members were concerned about density at such and such or such and such or something. Anyway, otherwise, we're just running in circles, chasing our tails. And I don't think we'll ever make that deadline.
Well, I think Mr. Burton.
So, that's all.
So in that example, George, you would be looking for kind of a synopsis from...
Just like we did on these bills with the legislature.
Planning and zoning, right. Saying here's kind of the conversation that planning and zoning was having on this.
No, if you see the draft, they've come to a consensus, I guess, right, for their recommendation. If we have a draft document, wouldn't you say that, Vince, right?
Oh, yes, if it's a draft.
If P&Z has a draft. Okay, no, I don't want to see it until it's a draft. I'd like to see what they are, you know, thinking, and then we discuss their draft.
So basically what I'm hearing is at this point it's turning into the, I think council wants to see it twice. You want to see it in draft, and you want to see the final. And I'm just...
Well, we got to see the final.
Yeah, but then we're back into that big circle.
No, it's piece by piece. The final is going to be, you know, we got 25 pages here, you got 30 pages here. It's going to be overwhelming, but if we look at it piece by piece, then when we get to look at the final document, it's not going to be
but
that difficult.
The problem with that is that you're going to see piece by piece. You're still going to have to look at the final document in detail,
sure.
Because the commission is not going to just necessarily adopt what the council says because it's still a recommendation. We're adding a step that I don't know is going to speed the process up thinking through it. I think it's going to add delays. And I'm not trying to discount the importance of knowing what council says. I'm just not sure that's the most expeditious way to do it.
Why don't we think about this? You can talk to Mr. Lawson and Mr. Moore and see what you guys come up with. And
good idea.
I understand Mr. Cole's concern. I understand Mr. Arlett's point.
We've had over
it is the right, plan yeah. is de- by law the plan is developed by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right. Mr. President,
yeah, but who's adopted it?
Well, we're adopted.
We all know that. But we want to make the deadline, Mike.
No,
we've never done it before.
Mike, have we ever not made the deadline?
Yes.
I don't know.
Mr. President,
we have not.
We've had to request extensions.
We have.
May I agree with
many extensions
with our lawyer here,
Mr. Wilson?
I think we are. I think you're just making Mr. Cole here make the recommendations. It's something he has particularly wants put into it.
What?
I think Jeff, you, Mr. Cole, to write down recommendations. That's something that you like to see done, and turn it in. And that's for the rest of us. You too, Mr. Burton. I agree with that.
I think I think as Mr. Robertson said, we don't want to lengthen this process.
I need duct tape.
I think everybody wants to see the draft as you get them item by item. I mean whichever when you're talking about, and we can certainly. I think if we're going to do it here at this level, it needs to be a synopsis. Like you see a building the house, it's four or five pages synopsis, two patterns there, whatever. We don't need to spend, because some of these, we could spend an entire day
absolutely.
And not get through what they've done. We don't need to do that at this point in time. We might spend that at the end. We might spend a couple of days, but yeah.
Let me ask a question of Mr. Arlett. Your concern is that the public input is not going to get in on each element and only at the end when it's in full form.
I would say my one concern is I want to make sure that we follow the law. Period. That's
talk
it.
Talk to me about public input.
Public input means that obviously after I'm assuming historically speaking, this is the first time I've been involved in this. Every 10 years, right? So historically, I presume that the planning zoning adopts and presents a recommendation, correct? legally speaking, they officially vote on something, and then it comes to us for public opinion after they have voted and provided a recommendation.
That's correct.
That's my point. If we're doing something still in advance of that, are we following the law? That's all. My only concern is I want to make sure that we're following the law.
Well, and I agree with that, but I'm worried about the public input time. Would that be at final draft?
Well, that's when they provide it. So therefore, if we're concerned about the timelines, then that's when you guys have to work on those timelines and make sure that we get a recommendation allowing for that time. Obviously.
Well, and that's one of the goals that we are trying to do is to get that to you as soon as we can so that there is enough time for council then to do whatever process it wants to do. Because, you know, just like what we've done at the commission level, there's probably no reason why council could break it up into, you know, three elements at a time and have public hearings on, you know, element one.
Did we do that in the past?
No, we've had a lot more public input this go around than we ever have in the past. Hearing on the whole thing, you know.
So there could be a time for public input after the final draft from planning and zoning.
Yeah, and that's up to you all to schedule how you want to proceed at that level. And we're trying to give you the time and the flexibility to consider all this information.
Again, I'm not trying to curtail any public input. I'm just saying I think it's important that we look at each element and you get our input. My input is important as the public's. I mean, there's all these different people. Your input, Todd's input, the lawyer's input. Everybody's got input. So all I'm trying to do is get a little more input as a draft is presented. We look at it, and we go back and do it piece by piece. It's easier to wrap your head around it. So that's all. It doesn't curtail any public hearings in the future, and what we have to follow the law just gives us our input along with everybody else's input. So,
may I ask one more question, Mr. President? I apologize. I know we've got a public hearing here in 27 minutes. But after the planning and zoning provides their recommendation, after they vote on it, after they've received their public input, and it's presented to this council, procedurally speaking, are we eating the whole ball of wax in one bite, or are we going to be looking at it from each category, voting, having an open discussion, voting on each category as we move forward, or are we voting on the whole thing as its entirety?
I believe, number one, we will have the one ordinance, and as Mr. Robertson had just indicated, traditionally there was the one public hearing, you looked at it all at one time. One of the things Mr. Robertson and I will discuss, the possibility of actually having public input, you have the one ordinance, but have input broken up as a possibility.
Each category.
But you would still vote on the end ordinance as amended, so you can make any amendments, and you could actually possibly, and we'll discuss this further, if we could make amendments as you were going through the different pieces, and then when we come back and vote on the ordinance as amended, you know, reference those pieces that you amended as we went through.
Almost like the billboard. I mean, you get the billboard, we went through each piece.
Absolutely.
We had a consensus.
It was
written based on the consensus, and then we voted on the final piece.
That's correct.
Very exact same way.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, and at that stage, you know,
that would be,
you'll have it and you can set that up.
Right. I think in the end, we would have the input from the public at each level, at each category. We could get that synopsis, get the consensus, and then have the final vote.
That's correct.
Right. And it does not have to go back to P&Z. Is that correct?
It's your vote.
Yeah, at that point.
So that's it.
It's the ordinance.
Okay.
Here.
When they pass their final version,
they're done.
Send that to us. They're done. Their job's over with.
Okay.
And what they pass is a recommendation.
That's correct.
That's all it is. Yeah. So you guys are putting a lot of emphasis on a recommendation. I know the law says all this, but the law is saying they make a recommendation. We're the ones that adopt it.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Again, any way we can make it better and get it done faster and cleaner is what we ought to be looking at. And, again, more conversation with us and you and them and everybody is going to help.
So.
And again, we've provided the historic preservation chapter. The economic development or community design will be next. So once the commission has said those are in a good rough form, we will send them on.
Again, I don't want to have to just call you and say I like this or like that. I think you need to hear it in public.
We'll get through
me.
It.
Okay.
Yes.
I know we will.
So, Mr. President, at this point, what's the process? What's the, you say we're going to sit on it and think on Mr. Cole's thought process,
or
what are you thinking?
The two attorneys and Mr. Lawson to think on what they've heard here today, and maybe come back next week or in 2 weeks, whenever. Maybe we come back from July break sometime with your view on how we should proceed.
On his recommendation.
I would think the most we would want to do is maybe not. We don't want to do 10 of these things. Maybe two or three at a time.
Yeah, because you've seen what
we
had.
I know.
You know, and
I mean, and I think it needs to be. I'm just saying my thoughts. It'd be a synopsis of what it is, and then people can say, "Well, I'd, whatever it is, say what they want to say." Mr. Lawson, you have a look like you want to say something. Please do.
He's thinking something.
Thank you. The concern I have is the looking at one slide right now. We have nine meetings that have taken place. A ninth meeting scheduled for next week. That probably totals 50 to 75 working hours worth of work by the Planning and Zoning Commission, where they sat in this room for 6 hours with our consultants, and they heard two sets of public comments at each beginning and end of that meeting. And that's the material that's going into the ultimate comp plan that you will be tasked with approving. That being said, I'm trying to figure out how to get that information to you in maybe a balance of a synopsis and not 75 hours worth of work. And I'm not sure I got my arms around that right now. But that's my concern, is you guys need to appreciate and understand what you're being asked to approve, and then also weigh in on what you want to amend as it's in front of you. But at the same time, I don't think we can repeat 75 hours worth of work. That's not, okay.
I don't think you heard
perspective.
That.
No. But that also means that we're going to get you 25 pages of the historic preservation, and it would be helpful for you to at least peruse it, maybe read it, and be ready to make recommendations after you get the synopsis from staff.
Sure. Right.
So there's that approach seems to be maybe a sketch of what we're looking
synopsis,
at.
Synopsis, we have a conversation here, put it on our agenda, then each time they get a draft, we do it. That's all.
And is there an area on the county website after, like, for the draft that's out, that we can view public comment on that specific draft?
For public comment, that all usually comes through the form. And what I've been doing for Planning Commission is when we discuss a chapter, they get a copy of every public comment regarding that chapter. I can do that as well for the council, if they would so choose. When we send out that draft chapter, we can send out all the comments we have received regarding that chapter as of that date.
But currently, there's a draft out, but there's no public comment click. The public has these thoughts on this draft.
So if you have, it's like a standard comment. Going to go to the comp plan website, and then the chapter's there, and then you would just use the standard comment form, because again, it's broken down by chapter.
Not my comment.
The public
somebody
comments.
Else's comment are logged in there on. In other words, they're addressing just that element.
Yes. So all comments, you have to pick a category, a chapter, to discuss comments. So if you want to give comments, I've gone too far.
I don't want to give comments. I want to read comments.
You want to read comments, I have to provide them to you. The comments are not on the website because they come through an email form. But again, as I've been doing with Planning Commission, is I print them out, send them when we're discussing that chapter. So when we're discussing transportation, every comment that we'd received as of that date was sent to the Planning Commission so they could see those comments. And I'm happy to do that for County Council.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else from Council? Well, that was easy. Thank you.
Walk in the park.
Walk in the park.
I take it there's nothing else that you have to present today otherwise.
I don't think there was one for you.
Nothing after? Okay.
No,
well,
fine.
Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. We do have 20 minutes to filibuster, so.
Yeah. No, we still have.
Sure, we could do that.
Yeah, we still have some grants.
Request. Ms. Jennings?
Right.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two grants for your consideration. The first one is City of Seaford is requesting $1,000 for their annual Nanticoke River Fest. This event highlights the heart of downtown Seaford. Last grant received was $750, which was $500 from Mr. Vincent and $250 from Mr. Arlett.
Well, they asked for how much?
$1,000.
I'll give him $750. Rob wants to give him
$250. Sure. Yep. Move to do $750 from President Vincent's. Councilman Grant and $250 for mine.
You'll second that. Second. I have a motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,000 to Seaford for Nanticoke River Fest, being $750 from my Councilman account and $250 Councilman Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is the Town of Laurel is requesting $1,000 for their 23rd annual Independence Celebration. Per the town, this event has brought over 8,000 people to the Laurel area. Last grant received was $1,200, which was $600 each from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Arlett.
And they are requesting
$1,000.
So I would move that we do $500 again, Mike, each.
Fine.
Okay. Anybody want to second that?
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,000 to Town of Laurel Independence Day fireworks, being $500 from Mr. Arlett's account and $500 from my account. Questions on the motion?
Yes. I just want to let it be known that Mike, I can't remember who my partner might be this time around, but I'm just saying that we're excited to go at it yet again, the champions of Cornhole. That would be our president. I can't remember who your partner was, the mayor, was it not?
Again, Shaw, my partner.
Yes. So I'm just the challenge is out there yet again. We will attempt one more time to exceed or excel to your level at some point in time in my near future. So we're hopeful.
We'll take the vote first, and we'll. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I didn't realize you had such talent, Mr. President.
Well, I would say this.
I
had four different partners for like the last 4 or 5 years.
He's practicing.
And I won every year with my partner until last year, and we were unseated by Councilman Arlett.
You were? No, I didn't win, did I?
That's why he brought it up. He knew it all.
Actually, I did not. I don't remember that. Hey. Did I really?
I think you did. Introduction.
I don't remember that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a cemetery on a half acre of the 9.8 acres to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest Fork Country, Sussex County, containing 9.98 acres, more or less, and it's in Mr. Wilson's district.
I introduce it.
Mr. Wilson introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to recess to 1:30.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have yes. Motion carried. We're now in recess to 1:30 for public hearings.
I'm surprised you didn't.